Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, the bright sunshine after the morning rain. Each day is a new day in your creation, Lord. We thank you that today our gospel reading is about the first miracle that your Son, Jesus, performed. How ironic that it is at a wedding feast, and that when he comes again to gather us, it will be for a wedding feast, the wedding feast of the marriage of the Lamb and his church, his bride. We pray that your holy word today would touch our hearts and would transform us as your Son transformed the water into wine. May we be the people that you long for us to be. We thank you in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. I think you'll agree with me, everybody loves a good wedding. Usually it's an amazing party, a celebration that a man and a woman have decided to spend their lives together. But according to custom, the wedding festivities in Jesus' time always began on a Monday and lasted, are you ready for this, 7 days. How would you like to be the caterer for that? The guests ate, reclining on floor mats. And in the course of the celebration, they consumed large quantities of food and wine. There was rhythmic music and lively dancing. And in our gospel account, as the party raged on, the host ran out of wine, causing them great embarrassment. I'm going to ask you to please open your pew Bibles to page 1649, the Gospel of John chapter 2. You'll see a heading in the middle of the page on 1649, Jesus changes water into wine. We'll begin with the very beginning of that Gospel, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples also had been invited to the wedding. Now, interestingly enough, there are two places in the Galilee which have been identified as villages of Cana, where Jesus performed the miracle of turning water into wine at a wedding feast and healing the official's son. Both are very, very near where Jesus grew up, in Nazareth. But we don't have anybody from that time to tell us which one it was. It was from the town of Cana that Nathanael, also known as Bartolome, son of Ptolemy, Bartholomew, came. And it was he who initially rejected Jesus when they met. I would like you to look at the page before our gospel, on page 1648. And I'd like you to see in John chapter 1, verse 46. You'll see it right at the bottom of the page on 1648, in which Bartholomew or Nathanael says, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Now let's continue to the top of page 1649 and verse 48. When Jesus answers Nathanael and identifies him, Nathanael asks Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, and this is so important because the fact that Jesus knew him without being introduced to him is tremendous. And so what's Nathanael's answer? He says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He later became, of course, one of Jesus' apostles, and he was also present when the risen Christ appeared to the disciples and made them breakfast by the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, which you can read later today at your leisure in John chapter 21. This wedding site, which thousands of people visit each year, these pilgrims come to this town, which is called Kafar Kana. And it's just to the northeast of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up and Mary lived. A very sweet wine is sold there and is labeled wine from Cana. And it reflects the tradition of the marriage feast. A lot of people buy this in remembrance of the miracle that took place that Jesus performed. Some friends of ours up in Niagara Falls, Gino and Muriel. Muriel had gone on a trip to Israel before she went with us, and she had bought a large bottle of the wine from Canaan. Very, very sweet. And knowing that she and Gino were going to be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, wanted us to be able to renew their vows. And so we did, but they wanted the wine from Canaan. And everybody remarked, how wonderful, until they took a sip. Very, very sugary. And I've got to tell you, I much prefer the port that we use. But when Jesus makes wine, nobody's going to complain. Not saying that this wine was made by Jesus, it's just the wine of the day. The wedding feast itself probably would have involved the whole village. Everybody would have been invited, and as we read today, some people from other villages were invited too, which is why Mary, her son, and his friends were invited. Running out of wine was not only inconvenient, it would have been a social disaster and a disgrace. It would be like at our annual meeting today, we ran out of chicken. You know that's not going to happen. That family would have had to live with shame for quite a long time to come. And I would venture to say that the bride and groom might see it as bringing misfortune on their married life. Throughout the Gospels, after this event, Jesus will address other kinds of problems and needs. But here we're witnessing the true compassion of our Savior. Compassion in which he sees people in need and he deals with it in a most unexpected way. The transformation from water to wine signifies the effect that Jesus can have and still has today on people's lives. And we know that through Jesus' life, he came that believers might have life in all fullness and abundance. With the custom of the wedding lasting 7 days, can you imagine the huge amount of food and wine consumed? And there was concern for the hosts that running out of wine would be what we might call a black eye upon them. And that's why Mary, Jesus' mother, asks for, and I get the sense that she insisted on his help. She insists and is not going to let him get away without helping. Jesus tells her in John 2:4, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" And Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." Mary, Jesus' mother, knows better than to argue with God. She simply tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." She knows that his power will be demonstrated. She doesn't know how or why. And I think it's interesting for us to know that as Jesus tells them to go and fill the jars, he doesn't touch. That's the power that he has. Some people on the History Channel, how many people check out the History Channel from time to time to see things that, you know, are going on? You can't always trust what's on there. This is our History Channel. We can trust what's in here. But they bill themselves as experts on the Bible. I know one particular is John Dominic Crossan, who is a former Catholic priest. He indicated that Mary really didn't know that Jesus was God or that he could perform miracles. The words from Mary speak otherwise. Do you think that she would tell these servants to do whatever he tells you if she didn't know who Jesus was? And the power that he contained was simply a word. Those same experts, by the way, have also shared their doubts that Jesus knew who he was. Even some of the dramatic presentations like Jesus, that was a miniseries on CBS a few years ago, had Jesus asking John the Baptist, "Why do you say that?" in answer to John saying, calling Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Again, be careful what you watch and be sure to check it with the Bible. Jesus exhibits two things here with this gospel reading. One, and most importantly, is obedience to his mother's wishes. He was a good Jewish boy. You don't cross a Jewish mama. And two is compassion for people in need. And what happens next is evidence of both. I'd like you to look at verses 6 through 10 on page 1649. Verse 6 through 10. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water new. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." The transformation of water to wine shows us the effect that Jesus can have and still has today on people's lives. Mary's faith and the obedience of the servants allow each of us to see the faith that is necessary for miracles and transformations to take place in our own lives. What was it that I said at the beginning during the announcements, that all are welcome here at St. Andrew's? And second of all, let's be ready for whatever God is going to do in our lives. Be ready for transformation. You know, I've said many times that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Very important. Verse 11 gives us even more. This, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee, was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. They put their faith in him. They had seen that this was a man who not only walked the walk, but he walked the talk. What he said, he did. There's a moment of hesitation after Mary's impassioned plea to Jesus. And during that brief moment, Mary looks into her son's face and sees a decidedly different man than the one who has lived with her and who she's cared for the last 30 years. Let me just run back over what has happened. If you recall, last week was the baptism of Jesus. After Jesus was baptized near Jericho, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted by the devil, and he did not sin. And after that, he returned to the Galilee region and started to call his disciples. And then he returned to Nazareth, and we read today that he was invited to a wedding feast. The man that Mary looked at that time bears a chiseled sculpting from 40 days in the wilderness after baptism in the Jordan. He's leaner now, more serious, and much more intense. Jesus hesitates because he knows if he meets this need by supernatural means, his life will never be the same. No, after this one wedding, the small town seclusion of his life would be behind him forever. And for the next 3.5 years, his only time alone to himself would be moments that he would get away into an olive grove before dawn, or brief moments where he could steal time on a hillside after dark. Fellowship with his father would come only at the expense of his sleep, because the needs of the people were so great. I'm sure Jesus thought about the embarrassment that this couple would experience, and it would not be a way to start a honeymoon, let alone a new life together in that community. You see, when people got married, they didn't build a house or go move away. They built on to the Father's house. And so the Father's house had many rooms. Sound familiar? They needed help, and Jesus was compassionate. So without a word from his lips, without a touch from his hand, Jesus simply wills the water to become wine. The way Jesus revealed his glory, with a quiet miracle, there was no fanfare. Just the mighty hand of God working silently behind the scenes in this hour of need. The purpose of this miracle was performed not to quench his own thirst, but to satisfy the need of others. The unveiling of the glory of God must have enlarged the disciples' faith. Can you imagine them watching this take place? They would see so much more in the next 3 years. But I pray that this miracle would touch our hearts today, and that our Lord knows our needs and awaits our seeking his glory and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.